Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Give it up for all the fathers. We're going to give the fathers a little something special in a little bit. But, this morning we've asked Rachel Ramsey to sing for us, and so she is going to do an awesome job. And she's got something to say before she sings.
The words are what God says to me all the time, and I hope they mean as much to you as they do to me. Awesome. Give her another hand. She did a great job. Now it's your turn. You got to stand with us and sing this song.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Sing. Nothing but
You can be seated. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Thousand Hills Ridge Church, where we get to meet in a barn where all the flies want to be. Amen? Wow, I'm out of breath. It's a good song, wasn't it? It's a good song. Well, welcome again. We are a cowboy church. Come as you are, cowboy church. Hopefully you feel welcome here. Everybody's welcome. And we just rejoice in you being here with us today. We meet here every Sunday at 10:30. If you don't have a church home, then we would love to have you at Thousand Hills Ridge Church every Sunday at 10:30 right here. If you're a guest with us and you want some information about our church, you can see our guest table right out front. It has all the information you can handle. There are free Bibles out there. There's stickers. There's all kinds of fun stuff. You take it, grab it, take it home, read up, and you'll find out all about us. We do have children's church. As soon as our music is over, the sixth grade and under will head down the stairs to the cafe, and they will experience our great children's church time in the cafe. What else? We have a one-year anniversary. On July 24th, our one-year anniversary is here. We're going to do a roundup Sunday and a barn dance. Can I get an amen? I know some of you don't dance, and some of you don't think churches ought to dance, but we're taking dancing back from the devil. You know what I'm saying? I'm a struggling dancer myself, and I just want to bust loose, okay? We had a dance already. We had a great turnout. Had an awesome time. It was one of my favorite times of my whole life is being able to do that. But if you know how to teach people how to dance, I need a teacher, okay? But we're going to enjoy that. It's going to be at our house on the 24th. We're going to have church here. We're going to pack this place out. We want you to invite every unchurched person that you know. We're going to pack the place out. We're going to put chairs in the ring right here so you can sit all over. We're going to pack it all out. And then that evening, we are going to come to the house. You guys are going to get all the catfish you can eat. My buddy Mike's going to cook all the catfish and bring it all and all that stuff. All the catfish you can eat. We're going to have a barn dance, and we're going to have some baptisms in the horse trough. Yeah! It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a whole lot of fun for the whole family. It'll start at 6:30, and just pray that it's not 98 degrees. Amen? At 6:30. Well, today is Father's Day, and we're going to do something really quick. I'm going to ask all of our children, if you can walk and talk and all that stuff, all of our children and our teenagers to come down to this front right here. You guys come down right there.
Chelsea, will you grab that box?
This morning, we want to give all of our fathers a gift to honor them today. So as our children are coming, will all the fathers please stand? If you're a father, please stand. You can be a stepdad, you can be a real dad, you can be... We're going to hand you a little gift on behalf of our church. We want to say thank you for all that you do as fathers. So all you children, grab four or five of them. Just grab a handful of them and just take them and hand them to all those that are standing up. We got some fathers up at the top. Fathers, give one. There you go. We want to say say thank you again to the fathers. Let's give all the fathers a hand. Thank you. We appreciate all of our fathers. I know you guys take on a big, heavy load as a father. I can feel your pain, and so we want to appreciate you today. Hope you enjoy those notepads, tally books. Pretty useful. Thank you, teenagers. Thank you, children.
Oh,
Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock, and now I know. And I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. You're my Savior, my closest friend, and I will worship you until the very end.
Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Take me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know. I love you.
Children to you. My daughter Madeline is how old? How old are you, Madeline? 5. She's 5. Isn't she beautiful? And this is my son, Hank. Can you say hi, everybody? Hi. And he is 3, and he is a big boy. And then this is my youngest son, and he's a hard keeper. I mean, he's really gripey and whiny all the time. And I'm just kidding. He's the happy one. And his name is Hampton, and he is 11 months. His birthday is the 25th, which is this Saturday. Yeah, his first birthday. You're 3. Good job. All right, you guys want to say anything to the crowd? You want to say anything to them? What do you want to say? Thank you. What else? What else do you want to say? Can you say Happy Father's Day? Happy Father's Day. That's right. Good job. All right, give these kids a hand.
Your 10%.
Wow, thank you very much. That's a blessing. I didn't see that coming. Thank you so much. Well, hopefully you're as blessed as I am. I know I'm blessed. We had a great week at camp. I don't know if you guys saw the video last week. Did you see the video? Yeah. You got to hear a few people, a few students talk about camp. We had a great camp. It was just a great time. I want to thank all of those that help, like the cases. When I leave, I just am blessed to know that I have people that can take care of church when I'm gone. The cases, they come every Sunday, on Saturday. They set up the projector and all that screen and everything up. I want to thank them. And I'm going to leave people out, but the Gonzers, they kind of head up our Howdy team. The band does a great job. David Arney stepped in last week, did a great job. And so let's give all these people a hand that do this every week. There is no greater joy than to be able to walk away from your church or from, you know, something that you have your heart into and walk away knowing that there are people that can handle whatever it is. Even when the air conditioning goes out. I had to miss last week, but I heard the air conditioning was out. Was it hot in here? It was to start off with? Well, I'm sorry, I missed that. Well, we had a great time at camp, and then after we got back in camp, Blake Overton and I, he's not here, I think he's working this morning, but he and I went to Tyler, Texas. Anybody heard of the Barnum Cowboy Church in Tyler, Texas? Okay, a couple people. They're actually our sponsor church, and they run probably like 1,500 in their church every Sunday. Great church. We went down there, we met with them, saw their facilities, went to a church called the Cross Brand Cowboy Church, who just built a brand new covered arena for the church. It was awesome. We got to see it all, and we are working as elders and as pastor, we're working together to try to get an idea of what we want to build so that we can get this ball a-rolling and get some land, get our covered arena built, and see what God does with that. And so we're working, just so you know, we're trying to get a goal set, to get all that stuff worked out so that we can have something to present to you so that you have a better idea of what God wants to do through this church, and so we are blessed. I want to just kind of go through next slide, is it? There we go. I know you guys hear this all the time, but I want us to memorize this. I'm going to brainwash you to memorize our purpose statement. So here we go. I want you to say it with me, all right? Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. Let's say it one more time. I want to hear you really loud. Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. Now, you guys have heard that a lot, and guess what? You're going to hear it a lot. You're going to hear it as many times as I can say it, because if we lose focus of that key word, which is unchurched, we're just going to be another church. And I'm not going to be a part of just another church. We are here to reach the Western culture that is unchurched. The people that you think will never walk through the doors of a church, they are walking through our doors. Amen? They are. We see people all the time. We see people all the time, and they walk through our doors, and we have cowboys just come to see those people, to see if they're really in church. It's like, I can't believe it. I got to go and see this. I mean, lightning's going to strike the barn because they're in church, and I want to watch it burn, you know? I mean, and they come just to see those people. Well, we're here to reach those people. It's not about a pastor. It's not about us as a bunch of Christians and a bunch of, you know, just cliquey Christian people. It's about what we do outside these walls that really matters. And that's why we're here. And so I want to just reiterate that. Well, today, Father's Day, I want to talk to you about how to become, and I want to talk to the men today, fathers today, how to become the real McCoy. Anybody ever heard that phrase? The real McCoy. Now you think, well, where did that come from? There's a lot of places where the real McCoy came from. The origin goes back to somebody in Australia who started with the real McKay, and they changed it to the real McCoy. Maybe, how many of you guys have seen the old TV show that was the real McCoys? Anybody? All right, that was before my time. Bunch of old people. I'm just playing. I think the real McCoy was actually an automobile part as well. Anybody know that? Or a tractor part? The real McCoy, it was a tractor part as well. Well, anyways, the real McCoy, if someone calls you the real McCoy, what are they saying? They're saying that you are the real deal. You are the genuine article. You are the real McCoy. One of the guys that I believe is a real McCoy, and I kind of look up to this guy, even though I don't know him personally, is Tom Morehouse. Anybody know who Tom Morehouse is? Great guy, just a rancher and a cowboy. Go ahead and show you. I think there's a picture. This is Tom Morehouse. Tom is a fifth generation cattleman, and he has four brothers. They all are in the cowboy, the cattle industry. Bob Morehouse, who managed the Pitchfork Ranch for a long time. Well, Tom actually takes care of the family ranch. And I got to meet Tom at the World Championship Ranch Rodeo in Amarillo. Got to visit with him, just a great guy. I asked him about his horses. He was winning the Best of the Ramudo Award. I got to share with him how I was trying to find some horses. He actually gave me his cell phone number and said, call me anytime. Great guy. But he's the real McCoy. And I want you to listen to this. Tom Morehouse grew up in this cowboy way of life. And listen to this. This is a quote from Tom. It says, if you're turned that way, it doesn't get too hot and it doesn't get too cold, and you don't get too old. If you really have it in your system, you just can't shuck it. It's sort of like falling in love. He's the real deal. Tom had his dad was named Togo, and his dad taught him everything about the cattle business and about cowboy. And listen to what Tom says about his dad. He says, Daddy had a strong work ethic, as did a lot of people back then. He gave it back to us boys. He taught us to work. He taught us the importance of quality, no matter the task. He wanted us to know cattle and horses, and he wanted us to know how to handle them. And he spent time, a lot of time, teaching us. taught him about the cattle industry, taught him about the way of life, this ranching life. And listen to what Tom says about his own children. He says, I want my children to experience the enjoyment that I get out of ranching, of being in harmony with nature. I want them to understand my love for the land and my love for this way of life. I want them to understand the importance of settling million-dollar deals with a handshake, that your word is more, or is worth more than any contract. Tom Morehouse, to me, is the real McCoy. Well, at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, listen, we want to equip the men in our church to be the real McCoy, to be the men that God wants them to be the real deal, to be courageous, to not be afraid to be a cowboy, or to be noble, or to be a hard worker. You know, the days of feminists and I love that song. Well, I shouldn't say that. The Brad Paisley song, I'm Still a Guy. Can we sing that in church? Would that be all right? I don't think so. But anyways, our world is trying to feminize men. Our world is trying to wussify men. And I'm just going to tell you this. At our church, we are going to equip men to be real men. Amen? We want our men to be men that are courageous. We want them to be men of grit. We want them to be sold out to God. We want them to lead their family spiritually. And we want them to teach their sons and daughters to love God. We are not afraid to be men. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. If you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. If you don't have your Bibles today, it'll be up on the screen. Psalm 112. We're going to read this together, and it's going to give us an idea and some characteristics that we as men ought to have if we're going to be the real McCoy. Listen to what it says. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in the darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and the righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. For his horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Some great verses that kind of show us how we as men can become the real McCoy. Would you pray with me as we ask God to bless the rest of this time? Lord, I thank you so much for the men in this room. I thank you for the fathers in this room. And Lord, today, as we are challenged, I know I'm challenged, as we are challenged to be the men that you've called us to be, may we saddle up and ride. Lord, there are men in this room who are scared to be that man. Lord, I pray that you would help them to be strong. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what it shows us, and I pray that you would just speak to our hearts today. And may we become the real McCoy. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, there are two things that I want to point out really quickly about this scripture, from this scripture, on how to become the real McCoy for God. Number one is this. If you're taking notes, this is number one. Real McCoy men fear the Lord. Real McCoy men fear the Lord. Now, you say, well, what does the scripture say? Look at verse 1 again. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord.
You say, well, what's that word blessed mean? Remember we looked at that a couple weeks ago. Blessed actually means happy, right? But here's the truth. Are we always happy? No. What does this mean when it says happy, we're blessed? You know what it means? Happiness for the Christian isn't a life void of trials and tribulation, because we all face them, right? Happiness, if you're a Christian, is victory over those trials and tribulation. That's what it means to be blessed. And it says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Well, what does it mean to fear the Lord? A lot of you guys maybe read that and you go, well, does that mean I'm supposed to be afraid of the Lord, or I'm supposed to be afraid of God? It doesn't. It's not talking about trembling or shaking before God, even though some might tremble and shake when he returns and they're not ready, right? But here's the deal. You know what it means to truly fear the Lord? It means that we stand in awe of him. We revere him. We honor him. We love him. Listen, my father is the greatest man that I've ever met in my life. And when I was growing up, I remember one time, and I don't know if I've shared this before, I went to the doctor one time, and the doctor, I don't like doctors. Anybody with me? Can I get a witness? Okay, Doc, where's Doc Clausen? Sorry about that, Doc Clausen. Anyways, I don't like doctors. I remember going to the doctor as a kid, and they had to strap me to the table. Anybody ever been there? And here's what I was saying. My dad is going to beat you up. That's what I kept saying over and over again. My dad is going to beat you up. My dad is going to beat you. I just kept saying it over and over again. Finally, they strapped me to the table. I think they were having to take blood. I don't like getting my blood taken. My brothers took too much of my blood. And so I don't like getting my blood taken. But here's the deal. There is no greater man that I've ever met than my father. He is the strongest, the most mightiest man that I ever knew. And I remember as a kid thinking, man, my dad is strong. Every time I would try to whip my dad, you know what would happen? I would cry. It's all fun and games until you start crying. You're going to cry. Remember, you mess with the bull, you get the horn. That's what he always said. Well, anyways, my dad is the strongest man that I know. But here's the deal. Here's the thing about my dad. Here's the most wonderful example that he ever set for me. He taught me how to love God. My dad, the strongest man that I know, he would be on his knees every day in front of God. If my dad, the strongest man that I know, is on his knees before a God that he knows personally, man, how big is God? God is a mighty person. Because again, I love my dad. My dad was, the strongest man I know. But he was on his knees before God. He knew what it meant to fear the Lord. Now listen, I'll give you another example. I want to teach my kids to have a healthy fear of horses, right? I mean, when you had kids my age, you taught them how to have a healthy fear of horses. I've taught my children that when you walk behind a horse, what do? You touch it, right? You kind of make some noise so they kind of know that you're there, and you touch it. You rub your hand across that horse's butt so that horse knows that you're there. When you lead a horse, what do? You lead the horse to the left, and you hold the halter, the lead rope, in your right hand so that horse, if he spooks, he doesn't run over you. You don't run fast up to a horse. You're gentle with the horse. You got to learn how to respect the horse, because the horse can hurt you, right? The horse is a powerful thing, something that can truly, hurt you and get you hurt. But listen, I've taught my children a healthy respect for horses. Well, in the same way, listen, I want to teach my children to have a healthy respect for the Lord. I want them to fear the Lord. I want them to honor the Lord. I want them to love God. In the same way. You know why? Because he's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. And they're going to face trials in their life. And if they face it with God, they will be victorious. And here's the thing, fathers. Listen, if you're a father today, here's just something that you need to learn. You need to learn to be a funnel, not a bucket. Right? A funnel, not a bucket. If I just had a bucket here and I should have brought one, and if I had a bucket and I just poured a bunch of water in it, guess what that water does? It stays in the bucket. But if I was to bring a funnel and I was to pour water through that funnel, guess what that water does? It funnels down through and it gets to the source. Listen, as fathers, it's not just my job to teach my children how to respect a horse. It's my job to teach them how to love and respect the God of the universe. That's our calling, fathers. If I do nothing else but teach my children how to love God, I have done my job. I've done my job. Now listen, here's something else that I've learned because I have little kids. I can't just tell them, I have to show them. This might be too much information, but I'm not going to say it. I'll just say this. From teaching my kid how to stand and pee, my son, to teaching him how to zip his own zipper, to teaching him how to put his own socks on, to teaching him how to turn his underwear inside out, all those things, I have to show him how to do that. If I just tell him, put your socks on, he doesn't have a clue what I'm trying to teach him. I have to show him the gray part goes underneath your foot. You got to pull here. Because he's crying over there because I haven't shown him how to do it. Listen, spiritually, men, we're supposed to show our kids or our family or lead our wives on how to love God. We've got to show them that. Hey, my son, my wife told me this story the other day. We weren't around. He was eating his food, and he was sitting at his little kids' table. Then he looks around, and he doesn't see any of us, and we always pray before we eat. Well, my son knelt, and he bowed his head. He put his head in his arm, and he prayed. He said, Jesus, thank you for this food. Thank you for our horses. Thank you for Mommy and Daddy and Hampton and Madeline. And he did it on his own. Listen, there's no greater thing that I can teach my son than to fear the Lord and to love God. And that, to me, is the greatest thing ever. Number two is this. If you're going to be the Rumakoi, the real men for God, we have to follow the directions. Look at that verse 1 again. It says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Who finds great delight in his commands. Just the other day, I was feeding horses, and I had my tractor out. I had this little roundbell hauler on the back, and I needed some help. My wife, you know, is also, you know, she's taking care of Hampton in the house. It's like 104 degrees, so I grabbed both my kids, and this was a true test. I have two gates in our corral, and they both kind of go haywire. You got those gates, you know, that, you know, I mean, once they open, they just kind of open, and they just keep going. Well, I put Hank on one gate, and I put Madeline on the other gate. And there's two horses in this corral. I'm on the tractor. I'm pulling this round bell, right? Well, if you've ever tried to give a three-year-old directions, it's just not, it's not as easy as it sounds. I told Hank, I said, Hank, okay. Big old horses in the corral. Hank, you grab this gate. Madeline, you grab this gate. Now, when I get on the tractor, I want you to open the gate and don't let the horses out. Okay. Well, I can just tell you, my kids are pretty cool. And my kids are pretty smart. They open the gate, and here I am. You know, I'm going through the tractor. Close the gate! Close the gate! And they close the gate. They slam the gate shut. They're standing there. They're like, yes, we did it. And the horses didn't get out. You thought the horses were going to get out, but they didn't get out. We got the hay in, and I said, just stand there. I'm going to unload the hay, and then I'm going to have you open the gates again, and I'm going to come back out. We did it. We made it through it. You know why? Because they followed the directions. As a father, when I tell my son to do something, I want him to follow the directions. Listen, as fathers, we've got to know how to follow the directions. If you're a lover of God and you love Jesus, this is your manual on how to follow the directions. If you will trust this, if you will teach your children this, if you will teach your grandchildren this, if you will teach your spouse or whatever it is, if you will teach them how to follow the directions, you cannot go wrong. We have to love God's word. You say, well, I don't like to read. Join the crowd. Get over it. Man up. You don't like to read, so what? I don't like to read either, but I do it. You say, well, I can't understand the Bible. Get a version that you can understand. There's versions out there that we can all understand. You say, well, I don't have it handy. Listen, put it on your phone. You've always got your phone. most of it. Put it on your phone. You say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible. Here, man, listen to this. Put it in the bathroom. Put it by the toilet. I know you men, if you're, never mind. This is where I always get in trouble. All men have to go to the bathroom. They gotta see Mr. John, right? And if you put that Bible by the bathroom, you will get a lot of reading time. Amen, women? Amen, wives? So you guys put it by the toilet and you will never lack an opportunity to read the Word. Now listen, you're like me. You're saying, well, I don't like to read. I don't do all that stuff. Listen, I'll read a Western Horseman front to back. But I always find an excuse on reading the Bible. Anybody with me? Yeah. So don't give me those excuses. You say, well, what's the reward? If I fear the Lord and I love His directions, look at the reward, Psalm 112. I'm going to read the last few verses there. Listen to this. It says, if we do this, if we fear the Lord and we delight in His commands, listen. It says, His children, He's talking about this father, His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Listen, this is the reward. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and the compassionate and the righteous man. God will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. Listen to all that. Do you hear it, dads? Listen, if we will fear the Lord and we will obey the directions, if we will follow the directions, He promises that our children will be godly. We will have prosperity, light. We will have light in the midst of darkness. We will have hope. We will have courage. We will have security. And we will be honored. That's the reward. Listen, those of you that are men, boys, teenagers, if you will fear the Lord, and if you will follow His directions, you cannot go wrong. You can't. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to be the real McCoy. I want to be the real McCoy for the Lord. I want my kids to love and serve the Lord. How about you? As a dad, as a father, as a grandfather, how about you? Do you fear the Lord? Do you follow His directions? Are you in love with God? My father, I'm going to go back to my father. I remember every morning, and I think I've told this story before, I'm going to tell it again. Every morning, I would wake up to the clanging of a spoon. My dad, I guess he watched Rocky way too much, because my dad would he'd crack 3 or 4 raw eggs into a cup, pour a little milk in it, pour a little honey in it, and drink it raw. My dad was the real McCoy. He would drink it raw, and here's what else he would do. He would turn the weather channel on, he would put it on mute, and he would sit down in his chair, and he would open God's Word every morning. There's not a day that I can remember that I never found my father in that chair. He was there in the chair every day. How about you, fathers? How about you, men? How about you, boys? How about you, cowboys? You think it's sissy to be a Christian? You think you're a wuss if you bring your Bible to church? Listen, there's no greater honor, and there's no greater calling than to serve the Lord. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't know where all the men it's only through the power of Jesus Christ that you can be the real McCoy. You say, well, how do I do it? I didn't have a father to show me. Listen, you've got the ultimate father. My dad, his father died when my dad was 4 years old. He never knew his father, but he is the greatest father that a guy could have. You say, well, how did he do that? How did he know what to do? Listen, he followed the directions. He gave his life to Jesus Christ after being an alcoholic, after loving, smoking packs a day, after doing all the worldly stuff. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and he followed the directions. My father fears God. He loves God with all his heart. And that's how I learned to love God. And so maybe you're here today and you taught your kid, you taught him how to ride, you taught him how to rope, you taught him how to paint, you taught him how to hammer a nail in, you taught him all those things, but you've never taught him how to love and fear God. It's your time. It's not too late. You see, my kids are 20 years old now. It's too late. I can't do nothing about it. Yes, you can. Your kids still are your kids. They still want a father that is a man of honor who will lead them and show them how to love God. And so maybe today that's your commitment. You need to say, God, I'm ready to become the real McCoy. I've taught them how to play football. I've taught them all those things, but I've never taught them how to love you, and I'm going to do that. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here today, and I don't know, again, where you come from. Maybe your father was a jerk. Maybe every time I say the word father, you want to stab somebody, you want to shoot somebody because your father was a jerk, and you don't like your father. Can I just tell you this? When you think of God, don't think of God like that father. God, listen to this. God is not the reflection of your earthly father. He is the perfection of your earthly father. Everything that you long for in a father, he is. And he's perfect at it. He will love you no matter what you've done, no matter what sin you're in, he will love you. So maybe today, dads, maybe the first step for you is giving your heart to Jesus Christ. You know how you can do that? The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as easy as that. Confessing him as Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how you can be saved. And then you grow. And then you act like a funnel and you let God use you to teach your children. Here's what we're going to do. We don't ask people to come to the front. We don't do any of that. We just ask you, if you have questions or you want some more information or if you want to give your heart to Christ and you want to let us know that, I mean, we want to know that stuff. And if my number and name and everything's going to be on the screen, you can call me, text me, whatever, and we will get in contact with you and we will show you how you can come to a relationship with Christ and how you can grow in that. That's why we're here. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. We're going to be dismissed today. Thank you for coming. Lord, we thank you again. We thank you that you show us how to live this life, how to become the genuine article for you. And Lord, today, as fathers and as dads, as we walk out of this place, I pray that each of us would be committed to becoming the genuine article for you. May we not give in to the world's temptation of not stepping up and being the man that you want us to be. Lord, I pray for wives in this room. I pray for our children. I pray that they would be encouraging to that dad that maybe he's not in the church. Maybe he doesn't like church. May those children and that wife show him the love of God. Not push him, but show him how to love God. And may you bring that man to this church so that he can learn and so that he can realize that God loves him no matter what. And so, Lord, we praise you and we thank you today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here.